Good day, friends. We ask you once again to take a look at your Bible with us on the broadcast as we bring to you a gospel message without addition, subtraction, or alteration. All brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast as a religious service, not as a substitution for church attendance, but we use the word service as we did on the broadcast last time, that it actually is a spiritual assistant to help you and your family come to know God's Word better. We're talking about the life of Christ in this segment of Taking a Look at Your Bible. And in the past two broadcasts, we talked first about the message of Christ, and then last time about the ministry of Christ. Today we're going to talk about the Church of Christ. And of course, that's the name of the group that brings you this broadcast. It's made up of a number of congregations, and we believe that the glory is to go to God through the church. We're aware of the fact that Christ said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." So there truly is a Church of Christ. He purchased it with his own blood, according to Acts 20:28. When it says that the elders were to take heed to themselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the Church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The term Church of God is used here because it's talking about the family name, God the Father. It was Jesus who died upon the cross. And in Ephesians 5:25, it says he gave himself for the church. We're going to have some interesting things, I trust, on this broadcast today to present to you, things that may challenge your thinking, and things indeed that will point out that in the religious world today, with all respect, good respect to what people believe and teach, there are many discrepancies found in the lives of religious groups. And we're aware of the fact that we look at this from our own angle, in understanding as Christians on this side of the cross that we truly must measure up to the teaching of God's Word. We are saved by His grace, but grace alone can become effective in our life when we respond with a marvelous faith. In the first place, I'd like to go to the first chapter of Colossians and verse 18 on the broadcast today, where the book simply says, "And He is the head of the body, the church." We're aware of the fact also in Ephesians, the first chapter, in verses 22 and 23, and you may want to write these references down if you're interested in this subject. Colossians 1:18, and then Ephesians 1:22 and 23. It mentions that God hath put all things under the feet of Christ and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now, I think this sets up a very interesting circumstance because we realize that from the teaching of the Bible, that Jesus truly does have a church. He said there in answering the statement of the Apostle Peter, you know, Jesus in that 16th chapter of Matthew had asked his apostles whom they considered him to be. And Peter spoke up. We don't know whether any of the rest of them said anything or not, but Peter spoke up in verse 16 of Matthew 16 and simply said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then in the 17th verse, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed us unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he made a wonderful statement here in the 18th verse, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Jesus said that he would build his church. We believe that he did that in the first century. In Acts 2:47, after the Holy Spirit had come upon the apostles and Jesus had been back in heaven, Luke simply gives us a historical note that's truly inspired of God when he says in Acts 2:47, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, if Jesus said, "I will build my church," and then he did add people to a church that had become a reality, then we're aware of the fact that this must have been the Lord's church, the one he said, "I would build," that he added people to it. How did these people become a part of it? In Acts 2:38, they were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 2:41, it simply says in their response to the proclamation, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You see, people did not join the Lord's church. They were added by the Lord personally to the church, which is his body. Now, I think this is one of the main points of this lesson today on the broadcast. In fact, I know it is. The word church, as it appears to many people today, is looked upon as being just any religious denomination. But what I'm looking at here, when we look at the Bible and find Jesus saying, "I will build my church," and he did it, then we're aware of the fact that it is not a human arrangement at all. In fact, according to this marvelous passage here, in the first chapter of Ephesians that we read in your hearing, notice again what he says. God hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over the church, head over the, all things to the church, which is his body. Now we understand that Christ gave his physical body upon the cross, shedding his physical blood. He said that blood purchased the church. So isn't it interesting to know that the same blood that Jesus shed upon the cross made it possible for sins to be forgiven? Because again in Ephesians 1 and 7 he says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." The same blood that forgave our sins is the same blood that purchased the church. Now you see, when Jesus purchased this, it belonged to him. Now that's one reason why we use the term Church of Christ. We're trying to honor him. We're trying to glorify him. And I'm aware of the fact that people may put that sign on the church building or on a sign, or they may mention about being a member of the Church of Christ. You see, we've got to prove what we really are by what we do. We can say a certain thing, and of course we may not follow through on it. So I want to make a point clear that as members of the Church of Christ, we truly are human individuals. We're subject to mistake. It isn't a case of me saying to you, "Well, look at me, I'm right and you're wrong." But it's a case of saying, "Look at the Bible, and let's see if we can't both follow what God's Word teaches." But I want to make it very clear on the broadcast today, I think where we have the parting of the ways in the religious scene today is when we understand the Bible says that the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Now, that has to be a spiritual body. The only way we can be added to that body is by the Lord, and the only way we can be eligible for that is to be born again of the water and the Spirit, just like the accountings that we have in the book of Acts. That tells us how people were born again, how they were born of the water and the Spirit, about 3,000 Pentecost. I don't know how many in the 8th chapter of Acts at Samaria. I know there was a man in the wilderness traveling from Jerusalem down to Gaza, an Ethiopian who was on his way back home as Secretary of the Treasury of Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians, that he heard the gospel, and as far as we know, there was one person that was baptized there, and he became a part of the Lord's body. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, the point is simply this. Now, you see, in the light of this teaching, I might say, or you might say, "Well, I have a church," or "This is my church." I know what people mean when they use that expression, but I believe that's a misnomer. I believe that's a statement that goes contrary to what we have here. If we have a church, if you have a church, if I have one, then I want to make sure that it's not divine, because it'd have to be human. But you see, when you talk about the Lord's church, even though it's made up of humans, its head truly is divine, and we try to comply with that true cornerstone. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, "Of the Christians, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So it's not my church that we're talking about, it's not your church, but it's the Lord's church. Well, someone comes along and says, "Preacher, that sounds all right, but I can't see any link between the church and salvation." Why is it that radio preachers, time and time again, television preachers, individuals who are certainly brilliant, who have outstanding ability, who know many things about the Bible, why is it they keep playing down the idea of the church not being essential to man's salvation? Well, I know, and you know, that not everybody that obeys the gospel always follows it. Jesus taught that in the parable of the sower. He told about four different types of soil, and there are three of those types of soil in which there was an indication of growth. There was a good soil, which of course is outstanding, but even on the thorny, and we might say the rocky soil, there was the appearance of a plant. Now, this indicates a spiritual birth. This indicates the beginning. But you see, they fell by the wayside. But does this mean that the Bible, does this mean that the seed that was sown, that there was something wrong with it? Does this mean indeed that the seed was wrong, the gospel was wrong? It had lost its power? Certainly not. It wasn't the seed that was wrong, but in the lives that had the thorns, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lack of soil, when the sun came out and burned it, that's the thing that was wrong. So we can't say because there are people who don't live as they should, who have been added by the Lord to the church, that this destroys the salvation connected with the church. I believe it's a plan of God's, in God's plan of salvation. The reason I believe that is such as scriptures we have in Acts 2:47. Notice again, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved or were being saved. Now the New Testament, as we have all of the epistles there, they're written to congregation or congregations of the Lord's church. And you see, this is a spiritual body of Jesus Christ. It's not a human denomination. It's not governed by a human doctrine, but it's a divine teaching. So this may be a spiritual bombshell right in your lap, so to speak, but I want to tell you, friends, that when you begin to say, or when I begin to say, if I'd ever say that, that the church isn't essential, that it's not a part of God's plan, then I have no scripture to sustain that. If I'm going to speak, I must speak according to the oracles of God, as we have in 1 Peter 4:11. There is scripture in the Bible to note that the Lord has a church, that people were added to it, that he said, I will build it, and that it became a reality. I believe it is in the world today. How are you going to find it? You're not going to find it looking at the religious scene, because that's a spiritual hodgepodge. With all due respect to what people believe, and God will be the judge in the matter. But don't forget this point as we look at this lesson on the broadcast today, that it truly is the Lord who does this. Let's keep this thought in mind as we go through life. If you have questions, feel free to send them in. May God bless you as you obey his marvelous truth and be of the house of the Lord today. Serve him here that you might live with him there.